Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey. I'm Lola.
I'm Pamela.
And I'm Amaral.
And we're here today, well, we have a topic that's very important. It's the main reason I wanted to start a podcast, and it's about how when you are on the spiritual path, aka the road to Woo Wooville, it is absolutely very common that you will lose friends along the way, and you may even lose loved ones along the way, because you're going to shift and change and grow, and they are not going to want to shift and change, grow in with the same direction you're going. So this is a very serious topic, but I do believe it needs to be addressed, especially for people who are very new to the spiritual journey. So we're going to tackle that. And before we do, let's take a deep breath, because we're in the Shungite room at Mystical Wares, which is a very calming, healing space that's been set up in the store. We were allowed to record in it today, and the walls are covered with Shungite paint. The windows covered with Shungite paint. There's Shungite water for people to drink here. There's Shungite stones. There is a fountain. It's very relaxing. And why would people want to be in here? Well, before we tackle a tough topic like this, we wanted to take a deep breath and relax, and this room is perfect for that. And for those who don't know about Shungite, it's a mineral that was created when a comet struck an area of Russia, and it's a black stone that has many metaphysical properties and actually physical properties. It's antibacterial and antiviral. You can use it to purify your water. It's an antioxidant. It provides EMF protection. It's a very healing and grounding. Mm-hmm. So we are surrounded by Shungite here so that we can be nice and calm and relaxed to talk to you about how normal it is to lose your friends. Not all of them, but some of them.
I also want to add that this episode's also about finding tribe too, which we'll cover after we first talk about losing friends and loved ones.
That's a good point, because inevitably when one door shuts, another mm-hmm. one opens. And that's how we all became friends here. Yep. You know, there was times I'm sure we all felt like we were alone and crazy in our own world, like nobody seeing it the way I am. And we found people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's the good news. There are people who are going to be on the same wavelength as you. It's just a matter of somehow finding them. We did it. You can do it, too.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to say before we dive in?
No, I think we can go right into that, if you think.
Okay. And just a little reminder that we're three friends here who with we're told we have good metaphysical woo-woo skills, so we don't really like to talk about ourselves too much, but I'm a tarot reader, a scholar of metaphysics. I speak and sing in light language. I do light language drawings. If anybody's interested in me, you can always check my website. It's www.lolasinger.com. Hit it. I'm done talking about myself.
I know. We were saying how hard it is to promote yourself. I am, right now I'm in the process of rebranding. I feel like there's new things coming on.
And what's your name?
Oh, yes. Pamela Brown. And you can find me on Facebook. My business page was The Stylish Shaman. I'm still kind of feeling into that because I love to decorate and I love beauty. And to me, it was kind of a combination of this very 3D world and beautifying my surroundings and helping others do that for themselves. And then also adding in this very shamanic side that has awakened in me in my healing process. And so part of that has been energy healing. I've got into intuitive life coaching, and I love just basically learning all about this stuff. So to work with me, I do sessions online and in person, and probably the best way to get a hold of me is through, we're going to be putting out a Facebook group, I guess, for this.
Welcome to
Woo Woo Bill. So that's another way to reach out to me. because I have a very common name, it might be hard to find me on Facebook. So that's just a little bit. I love working with people, and I specialize in trauma survivors. So that's kind of an area I'd love to kind of go deeply into. And you can find more about that in my bio on the page.
And now we have someone without a common name, unless you live in Brazil.
Yep. So my name is Amaral.
And what does that mean? Tell us.
Well, the first part is Latin. Amar means love. And I don't know the precise... Well, I mean, I know that meaning of it. I know that it's a descendancy from Portuguese. And my dad picked that name for me because he had a favorite soccer player. And I always really resonated with my name. However, that's also my middle name because my first name is Christian. And I really did not connect with that name. As well as when we shed away parts of us, we realize sometimes we don't connect necessarily with our birth names. And there's another name, and I happen to be lucky enough to like my middle name. So I just kept that. I am currently working on myself, and I find it that as I worked on myself, everything just kind of comes to me, meaning the people that I need to help. All these gifts have come online, and I help those. I don't necessarily do sessions now. I have done sessions before. I work with breathwork as far as coaching it. And again, once our website comes on, I'll have the information for that as well. And I provide that for the collective to help them out with releasing. We usually do it every couple weeks, usually on Mondays from 7 to 8 Pacific time. And I'm just here to be of purpose and help those that give them the help that I once felt like I could have, I needed and was provided.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, it's Lola again. And like I said, this particular topic is really very deep in my heart because I do sessions live and online as well. And one of the things that's very, very common is for people to tell me about their spiritual journey and how they're concerned about their relationships. Because inevitably, as you're shifting, changing, and growing, you are raising your vibration. Okay? So we talked about how we all resonate at a certain frequency. Well, when you raise your frequency, your energy is resonating at a different rate than it used to. Now, your friends, your family may not be joining you on the journey quite yet. So as you're raising your frequency, what used to be harmonious with them may become discord. Mm-hmm. Because you're shifting, you're changing, you want to, you've gotten that taste of what the spiritual world is like. It's like you don't have to be stuck in this 9-to-5 confining conformist concept of what you're being told you're supposed to live in. You start to taste that freedom and you're not going to go backward. Right, guys?
Right.
So that's what I tell people. It's like you're not willing at this point to go back to who you used to be, are you? And they're like, no way. So it's just a realistic thing to share with you that some people don't want to grow with you.
And I wasn't planning on talking about this, but as you're talking, I'm hearing to share this personal story. As you were saying, you don't want to go back. To me, I was always like, the genie's out of the bottle. Mm-hmm. So I'm out, I'm awake. And I even sat with not wanting, seeing more things coming in, being woken up at the same time early in the morning. I was like, what's happening to me? I felt a little bit like I was going crazy. That's when I found out about the dark night of the soul. And that'll be another episode. But I was awakening more and more all the time. And I started to be really aware of how I was like suddenly hyper aware, it seemed, of how my world, how I felt in my world that I had no awareness, or I shouldn't say no, but no conscious awareness of how work was feeling, how my relationship, particularly my marriage, my partner. And that was one that was really difficult for me at the time. I was fairly, you know, only been married for a couple of years. And so I started noticing that I was being really drained. I was extremely tired. I was trying to spend all this energy communicating who I am and what's going on with me. Having apprehensions about sharing that because I didn't know how he would feel about that. So there's this where you're trying to straddle this line of being the old you that people know and relate to, but all this new energy is coming in and you're feeling the effects of kind of playing these two different faces, wearing these two different faces. And one day I noticed, because we used to do a long drive to pick up his son on the weekends, and being, and he liked to talk a lot, and all the chatting, and it wasn't deep conversation. So I'm someone, I realized through this, I like deep conversation. I just don't like talking about random things. Some people are chatters and just like to talk about everything, and I find those conversations draining. So I one day came back from this, you know, 6-hour drive, and I felt horrible, and I realized I had been feeling that way for a while, but I never knew why. And I never tapped into, oh, this is an energetic drain. I feel like the life, my life, my chi life force was being literally drained out of me. And it got worse and worse. And so finally I was like, I need to take a nap. Then it was like, I no longer can do this. Oh my gosh, I can no longer do this. How do I tell him when I felt all this pressure to go on these car rides? And so I just finally, you know, was like, I can't do that today. And I had a lot of fear around this relationship and sharing what was going on with me. And then as I did, and he, you know, part of that was actually me coming in and working with Derek as part
who's
of my
the store owner.
Who's the store owner. Here. And I was like, I need a place where I can go in and just feel good in a place. So it really was the sanctuary for me to come in and be around the crystals, the calmness, the energy. And then I would come to Derek with all sorts of questions of like, what is this? What is that? I didn't have a resource at the time where I felt like I could go down and be, I didn't want to like constantly be bugging someone. So, you know, I'd come in and pay for time and get help with what was going on. And as time grew, you know, he in his effort to his compliment, he did try. He got a card deck. He got some crystals. It was even open to some sessions. And so I even confessed, you know, my fear is that if we don't grow together, or I don't know how we're going to make this. It just became more and more painful. And that was part of it was, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know if we're going to make it. And so I worked with another healer, and when she was somebody who is an empath, she actually felt into my body, and she said, it feels like, you know, this rock of this big mountain, you have all these boulders on your back and you're trying to push it up. And it was just, you know, I'm paraphrasing her word choice. It was so on point. She was saying exactly how I felt. And, you know, saying basically, you know, you've done all you can do and you're not responsible to carry the, you know, people around you. Like they can wake up. And so part of that is letting go of people and close relationships. And I had been fighting because I don't want that marriage to end.
No, because there's a base of love there.
Absolutely.
For your friends, your lovers, your spouses, your children, you know, the people you went to school with. There is the love that at the foundation.
Absolutely.
And you want people to experience what you're experiencing, exactly. Which is a liberation.
It is a liberation.
And they're not ready because it just doesn't fit their paradigm yet.
They're not ready, and it might not happen this time, and you have to let go of how you thought your life was going to look, how, your expectations, your dreams. You go through a grieving and death process.
You have to.
You have to. It's like your friends that going, things I wanted to talk about, people at work had no interest in. So I felt completely isolated. You know, I didn't have very many friends. I didn't have tribe yet. I felt so alone in that process.
One of the important stages of the grief process ultimately is acceptance.
Yes.
Yes, and that's so it's normal to grieve losing friends, be concerned that you're drifting apart, and to go through that grief process. And I can tell Amaral has something important to say too.
I was just going to add to that. You know, we all have different journeys to go through. And even as we grow, because we all have that free will, they can grow if they choose to. So anyone that you're feeling like, oh, you're leaving behind, you're really not leaving them behind. You're actually empowering them because you yourself are choosing to grow and raise your vibration so they can do the same. So I have to find out in a really harsh way about when I had friends and friends that were doing very self-destructive things to themselves, the line between I'm enabling them by being around and so-called accepting them for who they are. I hate to burst your bubble, but there's no such thing as alcohol or drug use do not equal to this is the way someone is. That's a destructive cycle that I have once gone myself, but it's not about you dictating anyone what to do, what changes they need to do. It's about you realizing that's no longer your alignment. You don't want to do that anymore. So you're ready to accept, to step up to just really face things for yourself and realize that that's more of escape. And you want to work on yourself so that way you can raise your vibration. That doesn't mean you're forcing anyone to. You're just allowing the choice for them to be. But you empower others by stepping away rather than allowing them to go through their self-destructive mode. Does anybody want to add anything to that?
That was heavy.
It is heavy. It's hard because some people might take it. This is at least what I felt of like, oh, you think you're better.
Oh, yeah, that does happen.
Yeah. Right?
Like, oh, you're so spiritual now. Yeah, you're like a guru, aren't you? No, I'm a human being who's choosing to change for a better reason.
Yeah, and you're like, and I don't judge, then they might think, oh, well, they don't want to suddenly talk to you. They're not opening up stuff, let's say, in work environments. So you go through that period because you're no longer, you know, resonating with where they're at. And it's not that you think you're better than. And it's not that, you know, you're still, you can relate. You can talk about other things like you, who you are at your core, your soul at a soul level is the same. But the character that I say, the character, the role we came to play in here as your, you know, for me as Pamela was, I had certain lessons to learn and I resonated with certain people. And as I woke up, I was like, huh, I'm looking at myself more, you know, questioning things that I was doing and partaking in. And suddenly they can feel that shift in you. And then they're like, oh, you know, sometimes they think,
yeah, you're no fun. You don't want to go out and drink anymore.
Yeah, you don't want to go out and party.
What's wrong with you? You don't want to go to church.
Right, yeah. Right. All those different things. So it's kind of a lot.
It's kind of a good way to look at it. It's almost like you're wearing a mask before you decide to really learn who you truly are. And this mask has to do with your social environment. It has to do with your cultural environment. It can do with your religious environment. Because you want to fit in. We all tried that. I can say for myself, I tried to fit in. But then I realized I wasn't intended to fit in. Because if fitting in means you're no longer accepting part of yourself, then you're not really fitting in. You're trying to fit yourself into a mold that's not really who you are.
Compromise,
yeah. Yep. And your compromising can only go so far before you're not really allowing your true self essence to come out. And that's the difference. A lot of people think that it's not an easy path. I can assure you it's not an easy path. It's a very gratifying path once you start really truly learning who you are, because you no longer allow others or certain things that has been placed upon us to get us to think how they want us to think. And that's really big because, so let's say someone is used to you acting and always saying yes and yes to everything. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait a second, when I say yes to everything, the no is coming to me. And when you have that reflective part that really showcases how unfair you've been to yourself, and then you start saying no, those people that are used to you saying yes, they're gonna really not like it. In fact, they're more than likely going to say to you, how dare you, you're not being the same, you're not for them.
Exactly.
And then as you become more benevolent, boundaries, because you love yourself more.
Yes, and the other thing I always also want to speak to is, you know, at a human level, it's instinctual to stay in with community. Like, yeah, being alone, leaving the pack meant death.
Yep.
So when many a times you might feel this way, that you're going through a death process, and in a way you are. Because your old self is dying off. Mm-hmm. And it can feel like you can have a lot of resistance. So if you're in that place, you know, give yourself a lot of grace around that, because it is super scary. It feels so, like, has a lot of fear around that.
So if I can switch gears, it's not all scary, because mm-hmm. I have found that as I shifted and changed and I grew, and I kept going down with the woo-woo path, mm-hmm. and I didn't look back. I kept going. People naturally fell out of my life. Okay. So it isn't always like a yes. husband and wife and regrets and how can I bring my husband to the same level I am. A lot of women wonder that, because of course women are intuitive. They're usually the first people to shift. But there are people, if you told me I could live without at some point, I would never believe you. Mm. Such good friends, the ones you thought would be there for life. And they just naturally fell away. And that's okay, because the vibrations had shifted. So, you know, that best friend may have stayed at a certain level and I kept changing. And of course, he would have changed a little bit too. And then I changed too. And we just naturally drifted apart. And there's no animosity. There's actually, I don't have the regrets. It's just like, it just happened. And I can think of two people right off the bat that I thought were going to be my friends forever, and they're gone, and it's okay. I'm fine mm-hmm. with it, and I think they're fine with it too, because they're not reaching out to me.
And what's great is then, you know, you start, as you let this old go, you know, the old parts of you go, newness comes in, because mm-hmm. a part of this is you feel really alone and lonely. Would you say that both of you felt that way at some point?
Oh, I didn't have any friends in Seattle. I had acquaintances. I had workmates. I had...
Right.
Well, wait a minute. I had Bruce.
Okay.
Sorry, Bruce. Bruce I could talk to at work. He was my spiritual friend at work.
And so great to have one of those at work. Because you spend the majority of your day at work. If you're working full time, most of that is, you know, who you're hanging around at work.
Yeah. But unfortunately, he lived in a town for a lot further away from Seattle, okay. so he had a long commute. So we didn't get to hang out a whole lot. But yes, thank goodness I had him as an anchor. But yes, lonely, yes. I felt like I had a lot of acquaintances in Seattle. Yeah. It wasn't until I moved up here and I found this community between Samantha's Reiki Circle and Derek's store here up in Mount Vernon, Washington, that I started to connect with you guys and other mm-hmm. people from those circles too, that are just wonderful human beings. So yes, I actually had to end up moving to find my tribe, but it wasn't the reason I moved, but boy, it was an added benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just as natural as losing those other friends to gain you guys.
I think one of the shedding of the old is I look back on some of them and I realize some were very superficial, and they were very, like, more acquaintances. They weren't deep relationships, where I all of a sudden was no longer able to keep things at a superficial surface level. I was going into the depths. I was going into deep parts of myself. I was healing and looking at things that I hadn't looked at in years.
But that's how we heal. We have to look at it.
Uh-huh. And in so doing, you're now looking for people that can go deep with you. And so when you find these new relationships, as you were just explaining, Lola, is there's this depth that comes in, mm-hmm. and you can talk to people about deep conversations. And that's kind of how the podcast, I think, because we were having these deep conversations naturally together.
We should tell people this. This is great stuff.
I thought, oh, if I could be a, you know, a fly on the wall, people could hear some of the things that we were saying, and I loved having the conversations that we were having. And I thought, wow, I would have loved to have known some of this stuff when I first started. And so that kind of organically happened. But you were talking about finding your tribe. So as this old relationships no longer resonate, and then you're going through your healing process, and you're trying to find sense to make of it. And so you go maybe online, you start calling in those relationships and finding what does this word mean? What is that?
I'm so glad you said online, because to be honest with you, some of the best friends you could possibly find might end up on social media that you meet, who you click with. That's where you can find your soul tribe sometimes. So it doesn't have to be someone right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It just can be the person that you go, wow, I get what he or she's saying. She really resonates with me.
They speak my language.
They speak my lingo. So I'm going to send them a yes, I liked what you said. You know, and friendships can really blossom there. They really can.
I really want to add something, and it's not to add it. I guess I'm just shining a light to it. It's what I want, because I have healed it myself. But I can tell that there's a lot of you out there that those abusive people were not just your friends. Those were your relatives. And that's where it hits the deepest. I myself have both an aunt and an uncle that were very abusive. My uncle was very close to my age. So in front of my parents, he could say things as, you're useless, you'll never do anything in life. And they wouldn't even bat an eye. They never said anything. There was no reprehension. And yeah, we can go around and say, hey, well, they weren't doing their adult things that they should be doing. The thing is, it happened. So where do I move myself from that spot of not feeling so much victimized, but instead empower myself to know I deserve a better relationship? I deserve respect. That wasn't negotiable. I am worth something just because of the fact that I am here. I am connecting to better feelings in general with people as well as to myself. And anyone that doesn't align with that, no matter who it is not welcome in my life anymore. And that can be really hard, because some of us, and I can speak, could be your parents too. And I'm not necessarily saying no parent gets a book of this is how to do it right. But you have to understand that anyone that is around you, they can only see life and feel life through their healed eyesight or their own personal wound. So if they're suffering themselves, they're not going to be able to give you that unconditional love maybe that you always seek for. Sometimes part of this healing journey, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate, is you have to find and give yourself that unconditional love that your parents never knew how to give to you. You have to heal those wounds that were just left because nobody put importance to it. And that's the beautiful part of our journey. You don't have to have lived a perfect life. You can always go back and heal it and do and give yourself the respect, the love, the understanding that you weren't given.
Absolutely. As you were speaking, it made me think of a difficult conversation I had is, you know, your family knows you your whole life this kind of way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as you become adults, you get married, other people move on, and so you're not around them as much. So as I was growing, I wasn't on social media. I wasn't even sharing really what I was going through. And then here we are together for this visit. And I was having this like total internal turmoil because I couldn't live this role anymore. And I had all this anxiety about sharing it because I felt they're not going to understand. They're going to judge me. It just was so difficult. And so I wasn't connecting. I was pulling away, which is not like me. And finally, I just was like, okay, what's going on? It's like, you're fearful to share who you are now. Like, what are they going to think of a shaman? We have this total different religious upbringing. You know, they're very devout. It's a totally different, you know, field, apples and oranges, like they're different. And And actually, it's our part of our heritage, my actual ancestry heritage. So it's not crazy, but I'm drumming. I didn't even know how to describe it because I was still coming to terms with it. Anyways, in the visit, I come out after a day of an outing, and I had been pulling my energy back and tiptoeing on what to say because I wasn't used to censoring myself, and now I'm having to catch myself in my words. And I just, like, I can't do this anymore. So I came out and I just started crying. I was just like, I don't want you to judge me. And I have this new person that's me, and I cannot deny her anymore, but I don't want to lose you. And I don't want to feel this way. And I want us to come together, but I want you to reintroduce you to who I am now. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, and it was actually a relief because they weren't sure how they wanted to, because they weren't asking any questions about it. And so it just felt like judgment to me, but they were like, we weren't sure what to ask. And so they were feeling it too. And so it just, there was all this tension that as soon as we dressed the elephant kind of in the room, that we were able to, and then afterwards, we all came back together from a heart space because we all loved each other. We're all family. But, you know, I still feel it a little bit because I'm not on the same trajectory as they are. Those family members recently came and we have a great time, but I'm in a different level in a way because we have different beliefs now, but some of our core things are still there and there's still love. And I really feel like when there's love and respect and compassion and understanding, there's a lot that you can work through, even if we have different experiences of belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but unfortunately, some people's family reject them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
I've had that too.
Yeah. I think that wounds are very interesting to me. So wounds are a place where you need to work on things yourself. It's almost like an arrow pointing to.
Yes.
But there's a beauty of every wound too, because once you truly understand from a higher perspective, meaning you become an observer almost of the situation instead of being so in the situation that all you can feel is a pain, you realize that there were things you deserved that you were never given. You realize that when you're standing up for yourself, meaning when you're really acknowledging who you are and this is where you're going, you're also saying, this is who I truly am and these are my new boundaries. And even that, as you're growing, that happens to all of us. And I really wanted to share because you have to understand that as you shed away so much of yourself, you're also going to go through this grieving process. Because if you think about it, you're literally changing from who you thought you once were to who you truly are. But it's such a drastic shift that you start to grieve your old self because you are losing your identity. Honestly, the biggest thing that I can, this is really crazy. So I have been able to turn every single thing in my life as a blessing. The biggest blessing I was is when I came out as being gay, that was the biggest blessing. It showed me who was really there for me and who wasn't. So before I even went in a second coming out of my spiritual journey, I already have maneuvered through it and kind of seen. In, I was the opposite of Pam. I was so vocal. I started going through my awakening process and I was posting and all this stuff. And I lost a lot of people that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get it. People are fearful. Whenever anything strikes completely different than what their beliefs are, they're going to run for cover. Why? Because they themselves feel insecure. Because someone that is really set on their faith, they're really set on who they are, they don't run away. They don't try to make others fit into a role. When you're fully accepting of who you are, you have no business to hurt others, to tell others what they need to do with their lives, or to try to change them. And that's the other thing about standing your authentic self means you understand who you are. You are going to be you no matter where you're put. And if others cannot accept you for who you are, you need to let them go. And that's actually a service to you and it's a service to them.
Great point. I love that concept. Lola, did you want to share?
What I was thinking of is we are all from the same source. We're all quantumly entangled, every human being. That said, why would you want to let them go? Here's why. Because if we love our fellow humans, we do not interfere with their free will. They have the will to stay where they are or to engage in some behaviors that you just can't be around anymore, then that's their choice. And we have the choice to allow them to be and to move away. So we don't, when you're on the spiritual journey, you really don't want to try to, you know, like you said, you wouldn't harm anyone. And that includes trying to convert them to your way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To this new person you've become, not new person, the person you always were.
Right.
The person you always were, you're getting rid of the masks. You're getting rid of the masks. And if they want to stay in the masquerade, that's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, I think it was really hard for those of us who are healers, because for the last few years, we've been really trying to help people shift, change, and grow. And now I think those of us who are empaths and healers are at the point where it's, okay, we'll help them, but you ask for help, you know, you show that you hold out your hand, we're going to take it, we're going to help you, but we can't force you to change, so we're here when you need us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, there's so much when you let go of that, peace, compassion, so much can flow more
yes.
into your life when you let go of all of that.
And we love these people, mm-hmm. but they think we we're condemning them, we're not. We're loving them by letting them be who they are at this point in time
mm-hmm.
and to be there to be of help and service when they want the help and service. But it's so funny how they assume that we think, like we talked about earlier, that we're better than them, and we're not. We love them.
Right.
We love humanity. We love humanity. That's why when you love something, sometimes you have to let it go, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. You know, that poem, you know, if you love something and you're setting it free, you know, letting go. And if it's meant for you, it'll come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those people don't come back to you, but you can love them from afar. And so even when there was a time of conflict where I was, you know, I felt disowned, I was cut off from a family member, and it was for a couple of years, and my heart just ached, and I just wanted to, like, go and plead my case. And it caused all of this, like, I would have silent conversations in my head of me trying to convince them or this or that, because the love was so deep. But, you know, you get to, and I'm sending them love from afar. You have to realize everybody's on their own path and journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, knowing that also trusting, putting your trust and faith in the process, that you know it's all going to be okay, it's going to work out, and giving yourself grace and giving them self-grace, because this is hard to shift through ways you've been your whole life or the ways they've seen you or expect you to be, and you're no longer, you know, complying with that. It takes them time. It took you time to go through this process mm-hmm. to get where mm-hmm. you're at. And it's happening to you. So, of course, it's going to take time for others to catch up. And sometimes I wish you could feel what I feel. You know, when I would go on a journey and I would come down and I would explain what I would see that looked like a movie to my daughters. They were just like, their eyes would be huge. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, they're thinking their mother's crazy. But you're like, oh, if you could see the movie that I see, or if you could feel the things that I feel, what it feels like. When you're getting a prompting, or when you know something's right and you don't know how you know it, but it's your intuition talking to you. That's what I wish sometimes we could give people. You know, it's just...
It's there. It's within them.
And we all have intuition. So it's not
yes.
just because if you're
right.
on this so spiritual journey.
We're not better than anybody.
Exactly.
Everyone has intuition. And they do call psychic skills for a reason.
Yes.
It's like you need to practice it. We get used to what... comes more naturally to you, and then kind of embellish them. So you know, the people who don't want to go on the journey have the abilities we have, but they're not ready to explore them yet.
But what an exciting time. Think about how things have changed. You know, from, so my real deep awakening started around 2017. now I'm looking on the internet and I'm seeing like, wow, language is out there. There's so many more resources. I'm doing a group now and there's people all over the world. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. We're all speaking the same, similar lingo and stuff. So what an exciting time to be on this journey as you find tribe, because there's so many more people that you can connect with either in your area or online or through a class or through a book. There's so many more resources. I remember for a long time I was like, you know, interested in planets and you know, where did you come from? And so I would go through different periods of interest and then I'd find people that were experts or
they would speak. People's galactic heritage?
Yeah, galactic heritage. And there would be stuff for it. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of topics here I don't know that much about.
When I first was doing light language, I would go to a spiritual support group in Seattle and nobody was doing light language. Nobody knew what it was. I was going to them for, you know, hey, I need more people like me. So that was back like in 2010. And now there's so many light languages opened up for so many people. But you're right. At the time, even within the spiritual community, I was like odd man out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like, I remember the first meetup I went to because, you know, people introduced themselves. But a lot of them were energy healers or, you know, I do this, I do that. And I was like, I was so impressed with them. And I'm like, they get to me and go, I speak in a language that's really, I can feel in my body, but I don't know what it is.
I think that brings up a really good point, that even when you think you find your tribe and they're speaking your language or they're in the circle, you still might not resonate really with a lot of people
but,
in that.
But guess what? There were the people who ran the center, there was one person who was intrigued because she didn't know light language at all, but she saw that it was something that I should develop. So she was really encouraging me to sing. So she would have me come to they would do classes and meetings at the spiritual center. And she would often ask me if I could come in and sing beforehand. Now I was scared to death to do it at first. Oh, yeah. But so what she did is, I don't know if I've told you guys this story. So, I mean, I was new to the spiritual stuff completely, but she kind of took me under her wing and other people too. She was very catalytic. They had a metaphysical fair and I came at the end of it. She goes, I'm going to have a couple of psychics stay a little late and I'm going to have you sing in front of the psychics. I was so scared.
Oh my
God. So I showed up. Oh, I remember it was a pet fair. So all the pet psychics were there. The pet psychics, the pet healers, all these pets. So I'm sitting there waiting for it to end, getting more and more nervous, more and more nervous. I'm going to have to sing in front of these people. They're psychics. And oh my God. I used to be really scared to share my light language. Because it did seem weird, and nobody else did it. And so these nice people, they got in a circle, and they obliged. And I sang a little quick song for them, and I was scared. And then the feedback I got from them was amazing.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, because like one of them said, oh, when you sang, I saw this woman. She was in white. She walked around. You know, things like that.
Right.
Oh, I saw everybody's heart get connected, things like that. They gave me that kind of feedback.
Wow.
And so if the person who ran that spiritual center hadn't forced me to do that in front of a very small supportive crowd, I wouldn't be where I am now. So talk about finding tribe.
Right.
I was very fortunate that woman, even though she didn't know what light language was either, saw something in it.
Wow. The fact that they could put words to what you were doing helped you so much to see the value and the connection and to feel the energy. I feel like you get that when you do spirit drawings with people, when you're seeing something and you're sharing what they're here to help. That guide is there to help them with.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that light turn on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're speaking to something that they haven't told anybody else about. They don't know anything about, you know, and so that's when you know, like, oh my gosh, this is real. This is tangible. I can almost touch it with my fingers. Seeing that light of what you do and how you're able to be in service of that. And if you hadn't done the work, you wouldn't be able to do that.
No, if it wasn't for this person, Melanie in Seattle, thank you. if Melanie hadn't pushed me, I don't know where I'd be now.
Wow.
Yeah.
But see, that's
tribe.
Yep, and that's the other thing, too, about alignment is just, The people that you're going to connect the most, they're going to come into your life in the most easiest way, the most unexpected ways. But until you do that too, there's part of that pathway where you are going to feel lonely. When you don't have that tribe, when you don't have those people to share with, it does feel like a lonely road, but it really isn't once you find those that tribe that is going to understand you and support you. And even us, just with each other, I mean, both of them know there's been times where I like have to message them or talk to them because I'm like, I need to really clear this out of my mind. And I can't believe this just happened or whatever. But it's so great to have like-minded people that instead of that judgment that you've in. See, the other thing that changes with tribe is that it's almost like you toss away all those narratives that once you said a story that wasn't yours to even have, that was of people that didn't understand you, people that didn't care for you, people that were two-faced to you. All that narrative, those are just old stories that once you find your true tribe members, they're not going to fit under any of those categories because they have done the work themselves. They have been in your shoes before where you were betrayed, where you were like dealt with someone that you trusted and it was two-faced. Now they see the bigger picture, which is just be there for someone, be loving there for someone, be caring, give to people what you would have wished to receive when you were in their spot. And I'm just super thankful for these two as well as so many others. Yes, I did go through the fast track, but honestly, without the support of the tribe, I don't know where I would have been now. I would have probably lost it because I probably needed them the most because I was going in such a fast track. So thank you to both of you.
Thank you. We learned from you.
And that's what I love about the, you know, it. I wish that I could convey how life-changing it is because it's completely, when I'm in deep something that I feel kind of lost in, I know I can talk to my tribe members, one of you, and all of a sudden there's this peace and then there's the light and there's information and you guys get messages and then you're saying, well, this is what it's about. And you're able to hold space for that because you've done the own, like was Emma was saying, you've done the inner work. So you can hold space, you understand it, you allow that person to experience what they're going through without judgment, but just loving them and giving them a place where they can feel safe. Mm-hmm. And that gift right there, I can't even put into words how valuable that is to me in particular.
I think that's valuable for everybody. Yes. And you don't have to be woo-woo to be a good listener.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
People need to be heard and validated even when they're hurting.
Especially when you're hurting.
Probably especially, yeah. So I guess what I want to go back to is you can align with your tribe more easily than you think. It just kind of like how people naturally fall away, you kind of naturally gravitate towards certain people as well, and they'll gravitate toward you. But one thing I could suggest is start to put that frequency out there.
Yeah.
And start saying, I know I am aligning with my tribe. Mm-hmm. I'm finding my tribe, you know, sooner than later. Things like that. Just really start to put yourself into that mindset, but then you have to add emotion to that. So start feeling what it's like, how wonderful in your heart. Oh, isn't it? So now you have to kind of pretend you already have it. Isn't it wonderful to have friends who I can have deep conversations with about spiritual matters that excite me? I mean, these are things you can do to start getting yourself into the harmonics and the frequencies of attracting those people. So just like tuning forks, boom, boom, some of them are very compatible sounding together. Right. You start putting that tune out in the universe, and you might just find someone who answers your Facebook post, or someone you bump into at an event, or, you know, even someone you talk to at the bus stop, and it's like, hey, you know more than I thought you might.
It's really cool. You also find that people that you are really close with or have that instant attraction, it's because it's not your first lifetime together.
No,
your key players.
Soul family.
Your key players, the soul family, you're like, we like to hang around each other, so let's do this. And you play out different roles. And it's cool that we're all wearing the matching shirts today in Wooville because we all have a link to Egypt together in lifetimes. Mm-hmm. So it's fun because then you could be like, oh, you know, when Amaral was going there to Egypt for a visit, I was like, oh, I so want to go there with you. And so you're doing things and seeing new life and new way of looking and experiencing this journey together, and you get to do it together mm-hmm. instead of alone. And so it's so much more exciting mm-hmm. and meaningful than any kind of relationships I think you might have known up till that point.
That's funny. That's actually a good point, because even you don't have to be woo-woo to have had that experience where, like, you meet somebody and go, I feel like I've known you all my life.
Yeah.
We should change it. I think I've known you all my lives.
Right. So great, yeah.
And in between lives.
Yes.
We're hanging out in a different dimension.
It's a fun journey, and it's one of the best rides. But boy, that's why I think we said, hey, there's some real value here that we can be helping people, because there's so much to go through in the beginning.
Yes. And
yes. As you go, too, of course.
And we want to give them a glimmer of hope that when you're feeling like there's no one you can relate to, that ultimately there will be.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And life is about change. So, I mean, you have to, that's part of honoring life. Like, everything changes with time. We shed away our own skin. I mean, come on. Like, that's even just a basic thing. Now, imagine yourself back in the day when you were younger, and put yourself now in your present time. How much have you changed? This is without even venturing into who you truly are or taking the path of spirituality. That same change is like, I think that so many times we see it as negative, but yet there's more to it. It's what makes you be who you are. And when you choose the spirituality, yeah, it might be have a little bumps and stuff, and you may be like, there's definitely, it's not an easy way, but it is worth it. I think that when you put it into perspective of, are you worth going through and finding yourself? Yes, you are. Are you worth finding that true love you deserve? Yes, you are. And it all starts with you. What you feel inside of yourself is what you radiate out. So you want better relationships, better friends. That needs to start within you. Heal those wounds from those negative relationships you had. You want better relationships as far as emotional. Same thing. Each person that comes into your life, they don't come to victimize you. They come to heal you. They come for you to learn the lesson and be able to attract better life experiences.
Sometimes that lesson is learning what you don't want.
Exactly. Even, for example, sometimes it could get a little complicated because it's not always easy. Example, with my parents, my dad passed. And ever since he passed, he's always been around and shown me so many different ways and so many different ways to look at things, which I'm really grateful for. But my relation with my mother has changed very drastically, and in a good way, because now that I have more boundaries, now that I know, it's almost like they themselves sometimes want to see what's on the other side. I think that there's no one in this world that thinks that they were just born and they're just going to be numb for the rest of their life and that's going to be called their life. And if that is what they see, that's pretty sad. But regardless of, life has spice, life has colors, life has vibrancy, life has
challenges, because they teach us the lessons and give us the wisdom that we've been craving at a soul level.
Exactly. It would be like having tasteless oatmeal for the rest of your life. Nobody would ever want that. Lola, would you want that?
It's too beige for me.
So I guess what we want to really take it to is, that's how life is. Life is intended to be enjoyed, to be lived, to be fully embodied, to find ourselves, to say thank you for everything you have. You are intended to enjoy things. There might be a path to get there, but you'll get there as long as you don't give up. Even one step forward is one step forward in your life.
Absolutely.
And one step closer to your soul tribe.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think I don't have anywhere else really to add to that. I think you guys really nailed that conversation.
Well, and thank you for addressing this, because, like I said at the beginning, this topic is why I wanted to start a podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It is, because a lot of people don't expect this. They think the spiritual journey is just all love and light and butterflies. And yes, there's wonderful moments, but yeah. Actually, because the world's about, the universe is expansion. Okay, yeah. We've got spiral galaxies for a reason. We're here to expand the knowledge of the universe. That's why we're faced with challenges, because when we come up with the solution and we move past that with heart and grace and dignity, we expand the universe. Yes, you little person on the road to Woo-Wooville, you alone can do that. Expand the universe.
Yeah.
So these challenges are here because we want the challenges. We came to Earth and said, yeah, this place has polarity. This place has heavy emotions and senses. This place has all kinds of challenges. Sign me up, because I want to expand. And so part of this expansion is you, like Admiral said, learning to love yourself, forgiving others, healing and growing, so that you can find like-minded people, and they are out there, and we are proof of that because we found each other.
Yes, and if you're here now, at this time in life, you have a purpose. You have signed on for an incredible ride, and at a pivotal time, we need all of our warriors anchoring light, and I believe you came down here to be a part of that.
Yeah. I don't think they're all warriors, though.
Well,
there's different roles.
There's different roles for sure.
Yep. But thank you for being here, and thank you for being in this podcast. And we loved sharing our experiences. So thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.